I find it of no coincidence that today was the announcement of the day of prayer. Before receiving the invitation to speak this weekend, it had seemed as if, or felt as if, the Lord had laid the message of prayer upon my heart. So after receiving the invitation and accepting it, I started right away on my talk that I had titled, Does God Answer Prayer? I thought that would be very fitting, seeing that one time or another, all of us have probably asked that question. Does God answer prayer? We're not alone. Many of the heavy hitters of the Bible ask or hint at that question throughout all of Scripture. Does God answer prayer? So I figured that what I would do is I would present to you 40 or 50 verses of the Bible that answer that question, does God answer prayer? And everyone would leave here extremely excited and encouraged about all the information that I had just been able to read to them. It was going to be amazing. And the more I worked on it, the more God worked on me and showed me that it actually wasn't going to be amazing at all. Because when we ask that question, does God answer prayer, we're really not looking for the answer to that question. Does God answer prayer? And I'll prove that. Does God answer prayer? Yes. Now, when I said that, many of you said, well, I already know that. There you go. The answer to the question, God answers prayer. John 16, 23 and 24, it says, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. God answers prayer. The Bible tells us so. But see, I don't think that's a news flash to anyone in this room. We all know that God answers prayer. We all know that. Because at some point in our lives, he has answered prayer. It may not be the prayer that we're praying now, but at some point, he has answered prayer. It might be that prayer that all of us pray at Christmas time. Lord, give me that great parking spot at the mall. You've prayed that too? But since he's answered that, then we do know the answer to that question. He does answer prayer. So after much thought, I realized that our problem isn't if God answers prayer. Our problem is how God answers prayer. Which is why the title of today's message is, This Isn't What I Ordered. Each of us at some times in our lives, and each of us at some time in our lives has asked for something and received a response that was so drastically different than what we prayed for, the only thing we probably could have said was, this isn't what I ordered. We prayed for success, and we got laid off. We prayed for a family, and we lost a child. We prayed for abundance, and someone in our family got cancer. We prayed for life, and we got death. So drastically different that all we could probably say was, this isn't what I ordered. At 29 years of age, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and from that time I prayed that I would be given the opportunity to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of my friends. I prayed for them by name. I prayed for them by family. I prayed for them individually. I prayed for them as a whole. I prayed that I would be able to present to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We offer a course here, LifeWorks, through RBC that presents the gospel of Jesus Christ. I prayed that that would give me a platform to present the gospel to my friends. I prayed when the Passion came out that that would give me an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Da Vinci Code hit the book racks, I was praying that that would give me an opportunity. And then my friend, my roommate of 3 years, got a brain tumor, and he died. I said, this isn't what I ordered. This isn't what I ordered at all. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I didn't know what to pray for. Now, that's not like any of us are walking around saying, geez, I have no idea what to pray for. I just had no idea. Because I am so limited and God is limitless that I will never know what I'm supposed to pray for. But God doesn't hold that against us. He intercedes for us. See, my prayer had a whole lot of me in it and a little bit of God, which is why a lot of times the answers to our prayers look so drastically different than our prayers, because when God answers them, it's all of Him and none of us. And if you know God at all, that's exactly the mix He's looking for. But it still wasn't what I ordered. But before my friend passed away, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. And on March 18th of this year, I had an opportunity to walk through the Gospel of John chapter 11, using my friend Brian's life and his example of how God was in it. And that night, 40 of mine and his friends were here to hear the Gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I'd prayed for these tiny little opportunities with one or two people. And when God answered, He said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to lay out the gospel to 40 of them. And you will have their undivided attention because you will be honoring their friend who passed away. Wasn't what I ordered. But it was far greater than anything I could have ever expected. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord says to the prophet, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Had you told me how God was going to answer my prayer, I would not have believed you. Which is exactly his response to the prophet Habakkuk's prayer, because in verse 2, Habakkuk prays to him, how long, O Lord, must I wait? But you do not listen. See, Habakkuk wasn't concerned that God didn't answer prayer. He was concerned that he wasn't answering him right now. See, again, it's a how question. It either doesn't look like what we prayed for, or it doesn't happen when we pray for it. It's a timing thing. How long must I wait? See, I want my prayer life, if we're being honest here, to be like a drive-through window at McDonald's. Put your order in, pull around to window number 2. But even then I'm irritated that I can't pull around to window number 1. Why is that window never working, by the way? Again, Romans 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Again, I am limited. God is limitless. I am only able to pray under the understanding of time, of how I relate to it. And it's limited, which is why I want it to happen now. And with God being limitless, He's able to work all of these things out. See, that night of March 18th represented the gospel of Jesus Christ to 40 of my friends and some of Brian's family members. That was an answer to prayer. But that message of John 11 had been on my heart for more than 2 years. 2 years I'd pray that I would have an opportunity to present the message of John 11 to my friends. And I had prayed that perhaps Brian, while he was still alive, would hear the message of Jesus Christ through John 11, and that would be the vehicle of which he would accept Jesus Christ. Again, a whole lot of me and a little bit of God. And then Brian passed away. And then my prayer was, well, I'll use it now and use the example of Brian's life and how God had His hand in this. And I prayed for an opportunity and nothing came. And I prayed and nothing came. And I kept saying, much like the prophet Habakkuk, how long must I wait? Well, then in November, Mike asked me if I would speak and give a message that I had given at our Training Faithful Men class, and I accepted. And on the ride home from TFM that morning, I was thinking, this is it. Like, this is the answer to prayer. Apparently, though, God has not brought Mike up to speed on all that He wants to accomplish through me. So, again, it's up to me to bring him up to speed. Let me shoot him a quick email, and I emailed him, throwing in all the phrases and terms that we as Christians use when we want something accomplished but don't want it to seem like we want it accomplished. I said, there's a heavy burden on my heart. I feel as if the Lord is leading me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've all done that. I was trying to back him into a corner, and it worked. He emails me back, you know, who am I to stand in the way if God is laying this on your heart? He said, you can preach that message. And the minute I received it, it felt wrong. It felt so wrong. Now, usually when I get something I want, I'm able to overlook that. But this time it was more than usual. It was extra strength. And I was like, man, I really feel wrong about this. I emailed Mike back and I said, Mike, I'll preach the message you asked me to preach. I found out a couple weeks later that Brian's wife would have been out of town that night in November. And I almost took that as sort of a thumbs up to been like, wow. Was I injecting myself into the process or what? Well, March 18th comes, and that night she was here. She sat in the front row with Brian's mom. And they got to hear that message, and she'd comment to my friend later that that message answered a lot of questions that she had about why Brian was taken at the age of 36. Well, that next morning, Sunday morning, I'm preaching now, and after the 8 o'clock service, a man comes up to me and he says, I had a friend who passed away from glioblastoma as well. And I was like, wow, you know, it's sort of rare. What a coincidence that you would be here to hear this message today. He said, my friend passed away and I was also a pallbearer at his funeral, much like you were. And I was like, wow, I mean, that's really a coincidence. Think about that, that your friend died of the same disease as mine did, and we were both pallbearers in the funeral. He said his funeral was yesterday. And I said to someone, I said, I almost got sick. I was like, are you kidding me? Yesterday. Like, here I am trying to preach this message back in November. And God's like, just wait. Yesterday. After the 10 o'clock service, a woman came up to me and she said, my sister is sick. And I prayed to God that he would show me that he was in this. 2 days ago, I read John 11. She said, I didn't get any of that. She said, your message was God's answer to my prayer. And I was like, are you kidding me? That God answering my prayer, he was also answering somebody else's. Again, the book of Habakkuk. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am doing something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. God said, look at the nations. Like for just a second, look beyond yourself. And that day I realized while he was answering my prayer, he was also answering other people's prayer. And sometimes the answer to our prayer will be the exact same answer to somebody else's. Be utterly amazed. See, God answers prayer. The Bible tells us so. It just might not be right now. And if you're in a place right now where it seems as if God isn't or hasn't answered your prayer, believe me, he's probably answering it right now. On October 7th of 2004, my father passed away. My father was a vice admiral in the United States Navy, so the following day we were making arrangements with Arlington National Cemetery for the funeral. There was a backlog at Arlington National Cemetery, so they informed us that day that the funeral wouldn't take place until December 10th. Now, 2 months is a long time to wait for a funeral service, so we had a very small memorial service down near my father's farm to assist some people with some emotional closure on an event like this. South River United Methodist Church. The church body of 54 and a sign on the wall that indicated the previous week's attendance had been 29. That day it was standing room only. And since it was such a small church, I had the blessing of being able to do the service. And it was such a blessing in that time of grief. 5 days later, my grandfather passed away. Now, there's not much of a backlog in North Braddock, Pennsylvania, so My grandfather's funeral was actually that following weekend. And as I arrived there, my mother and her sisters were finalizing the details of the funeral. My grandfather had been in World War II. So one of the final details would be understanding who would receive the flag that would be draped across my father's casket. The procedure is that the closest living relative would receive the flag, and that would be his brother Herbie, or Uncle Herbie, as he's affectionately known. However, for the last 8 years of my grandfather's life, he had lived with my mother's youngest sister, my aunt. So many of us thought that my aunt should be the one to receive the flag, and my aunt, sensing that this flag might end up being the emotional release that becomes the tsunami that families often gravitate toward during times of grief, whose devastation lasts well past the grief, realized that this might in fact be the case for this flag. She quickly said, "Uncle Herbie will be the one to receive the flag." The next day, as the funeral service came to a close, the military representatives folded the flag, walked over and presented it to my Uncle Herbie, who put out his hands and accepted it just like this. They thanked him for his brother's service to his country. And as we closed in prayers, we said the amens, and Uncle Herbie walked directly over to my aunt and said, "This belongs to you." And as the family just started to cry, it hit me. My father's flag. Who's going to receive that? Well, I started praying right away that, you know, Lord, you know how much that would mean to me, for me to be able to receive that flag, and I would just ask that I would be able to receive that. So the next few days, I'm on the phone with Arlington again. My wife and I were flying up our pastor to do the service. We're going through the agenda. And he gets to the part where he says, "At this point, we'll present the flag." Why, nonchalantly sort of asking, "Who will be receiving that flag?" I hear him rustle through some papers, and he reads off the name of my father's wife. Well, I get off the phone, and I'm praying now, you know, "Lord, standard procedure is that she receives this flag, but I am praying that somehow you work this out, that I could receive that flag." Well, now I get on the phone with my father's wife and want to walk through the agenda with her. And while I'm on the phone with her, I get this great idea that what I'll do is I'll go through the agenda. And when I get to the part where I say, "At this point, they'll present the flag to you," I'll pause, giving her the opportunity to say, "You know, DR, I'd like for you to have the flag." Seemed to make all the sense in the world to me at the time. So I'm on the phone, and I go through the agenda, and at the point I said, "And at this point, they will present the flag to you." And she says, "Okay." And I said, "What was that?" She said, "Okay." And I was like, "Oh, okay, I just didn't hear you." Well, now I get off the phone, and I realize I need to get involved. I've prayed. I need to get involved. Does that sound familiar? It should, because it precedes every disastrous story in the Bible. Every one of them. Someone says, "You know what? I'm done waiting on God. It's time for me to get involved." So now it's time for me to get involved. Well, before I start all of my covert operations, I call a friend of mine and I explain to him everything about how unjust and unfair this all is, you know, trying to get him to understand and side with me. And I say to him, "You know, what do you think I ought to do?" And he said, "Nothing." I said, "Do you want me to call you back in a few minutes? We can try this again." He said, "Dior, if you want God to show up in a big way, you need to get out of the way." He said, "Because what you want is you want an answer to prayer. But if you get involved, then when it comes true, then it's you and God that did it. So if you want Him to come through, get out of the way." Well, I asked him if he would at least join me in praying that I receive that flag, and he joined me and my wife and my mom, who were the only individuals that I really wanted to bring it into it, because even though I did want the flag, I also at the same time wanted to honor my father and didn't want all of the people there praying, making my wife's father the bad guy if she didn't give it to me. So I only enlisted a few people to join me in prayer. And it was at that time, as I was reading the Bible, I stumbled across James chapter 4. It was the second half of verse 2 and the first half of verse 3. It says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Well, I got that taken care of. I can check that part off. I've asked. It said, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." And I was like, wow. Have I been asking with wrong motives? Like, did I want it or did I just not want her to have it? And I searched my heart and I searched my heart and I honestly felt as if I hadn't been asking with wrong motives, but I think we can all agree that when we truly want something, it's pretty hard to search our heart. And it was at this point that I completely handed it over to God. I said, if I am asking with wrong motives, it'll be clear because I won't get it. And I completely handed it over to Him. December 10th, 2004. Let me start by saying I think everybody should be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. It is absolutely the most honoring thing I have ever been a part of. From the chapel service to the 21-gun salute, it is so honoring. And as that service came to a close, they presented the flag to my father's wife. And we got into our cars, and as we started to go over to the reception after a bit of silence, the pastor said, "Dear, how long was your dad and your mom married?" And I said, 34 years. And he said, "And how long was he married to his most recent wife?" And I said, 5 years. And after a little bit more silence, he said, "You know, the presentation of that flag might just go into the file of things not fair in this life." And it was so encouraging to hear that someone else had realized that. I had not brought him into the conversation, but it was just encouraging that there was a realization of who the flag should have gone to. Well, we get to the reception, and it was just so encouraging again to see all of my father's friends from high school and college and throughout his Navy career that were there, but it was also encouraging to see a bunch of my friends that were there. And my one friend, Doug Murphy, came up to me and he said, "What's up with the flag?" Now, you'll have to excuse me. My friend, Doug Murphy, or Murph, is from Philadelphia. So anytime I imitate him, it's a mix between him and Rocky Balboa. So he said, "What's up with the flag?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Why did they give it to her?" And I said, "Well, it's standard procedure that it goes to the closest living relative." And that answer wasn't sufficient for my friend, who then said, "I almost took it from him and gave it to you during the service." I said, "You know, I said, Murph, there's two things I appreciate about that. One, that you would have, and two, that you didn't." Well, later during the reception, almost in passing, a friend of my father's from high school said to a family member, "If she has any class at all, she'll give that flag to DR. I was like, wow, the third person who realized that. Three people who didn't know one another, three people I'd never talked to, three people from different parts of the United States all coming to the same conclusion. And that's when it hit me. She probably wants to wait to give it to me here at the reception. I mean, in front of all the family and friends. And then some friends started leaving. And I was like, you know what? She probably just wants to wait till it's just family. And then family members started to leave. And I thought, you know what? It's probably best if she just wait till it's her and I. Well, that next day I was scheduled to go back down to my father's farm. So I went over and we said our goodbyes. Talked about what a blessing that day had been. I turned and left. No flag. Did God answer my prayer? Let us never forget that no is in fact an answer. God answers prayer. The Bible tells us so. It just might not be right now. It also might be no. And the funny thing about God saying no to prayer is so many of us can look back over a lifetime of prayers that God has said no to, and we give Him thanks for saying no to those prayers. Wow, the bullet that I dodged, God, by You saying no to that prayer, and in the exact same breath, we wonder why He's not answering prayer right now. It is my belief that God blesses us more by saying no to our prayers than He ever will by saying yes. The next day, I was driving down to my father's farm and continued to think about what an honoring day the previous day had been. My mind kept coming back time and time again to those three people who didn't know one another, who I hadn't talked to about this flag, all coming to the same conclusion that I should have been the one to get the flag. And that's when it hit me. I never wanted that flag. I wanted what the flag represented. See, the flag represented that the closest living person to my father was me. That's what I wanted. My father never owned that flag. My father had never seen that flag. I didn't want a flag. I wanted what it represented. And it took God saying no to my prayer for me to ever realize that He had already said yes. He had already given me what I wanted. But I got so wrapped up in what I wanted, I couldn't see that I already had it. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." The peace that transcends all understanding is the only way I can explain what I felt when I pulled onto my dad's farm that day. And as I walked inside and said hello, I saw that all of my father's stuff was out in the open as they prepared for the estate sale. My father's wife said to me, "D.R., you can have anything here you want." And I almost had to smile, because there were many things there that I had seen my dad buy, or had been with my dad, or I knew my dad had purchased, or I'd even given my dad. And I could look at it as that was just stuff. I didn't need that. God had given me everything I already wanted. Yet had He not shown me that just a few hours before, I'd have been backing up a U-Haul to that house, trying to take everything so that everybody would be able to see how much my father meant to me. And God showed me, you don't need that stuff. It was a peace that transcends all understanding. And it was at that point I heard her say, "D.R.," and as I turned around, she was holding my father's flag. And she said, "This doesn't belong to me." She said, "This belongs to your mother." She said, "Your mother was married to your father when he was in the Navy. I wasn't." She said, "And if it wouldn't have been showboating, I'd have handed it to her yesterday during the service. Watch and be utterly amazed." And as we stood there in the kitchen of my father's house just crying, I was like, my, could God be any bigger? And you're thinking, hold on a second, dear, there's a hole in your story. She gave the flag to your mother, not to you. But my mother, that whole time, had been praying that her little boy would get his father's flag. And God orchestrated it in such a way that not only did her little boy get that flag, but she got to give it to him. Watch and be utterly amazed. Now I know there are some people in this room right now who are praying for things a whole lot bigger than a flag. Well, be encouraged that if God would orchestrate that sort of thing for me to get a flag, what will He do to answer the big prayers out there? And even though it may seem that He didn't answer your prayer, do not give up hope that He is not answering them right now. How is He going to answer them? I have no idea. But I do know this. If he were to tell you right now how he was going to answer them, you wouldn't even believe him. Keep praying. Watch. And be utterly amazed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that not only do you answer prayer, but how you almost seem to go out of your way to remind us continually how you answer prayer. And you just don't want to answer them in little ways, Lord. You want to show off by answering our prayers in ways that if you were to tell us right now, we wouldn't even believe you. And we just pray, Lord, that when you answer those, we would give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.